Hello and welcome to this service of the word coming to you from St. Martin's Church, North Nibley. And it's lovely to be back with you on this, the fourth Sunday before we move into the Lenten period. So you have 4 weeks to eat all those cakes and biscuits and drink whiskey and whatever other vices you've got. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy and peace be with you, and also with you. We worship with Christians near and far, living and departed, old and young. God's word is for every one of us, and may it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so we come before God in prayer. Lord, speak to us through this service that we may hear your word. Move among us in our lives that we may behold your glory. Receive our prayers that we may learn to trust you. Amen. The collect for today, that special prayer written for today. O God, who knowest us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers, that by reason of the frailty of our nature, we cannot always stand upright. Grant to us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so we come to our readings. I am omitting the psalm this week because it wasn't totally relevant to what I wanted. So we've got the reading from the New Testament from Corinthians instead. But we begin with Isaiah's commission. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people." Here endeth the lesson. The second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 to 11. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. Here endeth the reading. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Glory to you, O Lord. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. That reading of Isaiah's commission, I first heard that properly sat in St. David's Cathedral. You've heard this story lots of times, so I'd forgive me for doing it, but I need to today. Sat in St. David's Cathedral, I turned up sometime during the week in turret of a tank, commanding it from the port down in Haverford West area. And we drove this tank up to camp, and on my first Saturday off, I went for a mooch around the countryside to see where I was, because this was a brand new posting, and found the cathedral. I was absolutely astounded to see that there was a cathedral there. I hadn't realised it was that St. David's. And I felt the need that I had to go into this cathedral, which, bearing in mind I wasn't a Christian and didn't do church at the time, was a bit weird. I went in, it was just locking up time, and the verger ushered me straight back out again and said, "Come back tomorrow, it's Sunday, there's a service." And I thought, I don't want to do that, because it's a cathedral and I don't know where to sit and what to do and what have you. Anyway, I felt impelled to go, and sat under the tower, because it was winter time and it was a small congregation. I sat there as far away from everybody else as I could, because I felt uncomfortable being in a churchy place, and didn't take much notice of what was going on. There was this reading we've had today, Isaiah's commission, and I was staring up at the painted roof, which was quite beautiful, trying to imagine the seraphims. I do hope there are seraphims when we get to heaven. And not taking a great deal of notice, but just daydreaming. But I heard the last verse pretty loud. "Whom shall I send?" said God. "Who will go for us?" And at that moment, I was filled with absolute terror and panic. And remember thinking, no, you can't send me. You've got it all wrong. I know that I said I wanted to be a vicar when I was 14, but, you know, this is getting serious now. You're having a joke, God. You're having a laugh. And God said, well, I do enjoy a joke and a laugh, but I'm not laughing now. So there we are. That was my calling. Throughout Scripture, we see that human sin, failure and inadequacy are no barrier to God's call. God calls the imperfect to do his work and moulds them. People who are aware of their own unworthiness, doubters, and those resistant to God's call are the ones who get God's call. At first, Simon Peter, in the Gospel, resisted Jesus' request to let down his nets. He'd been out all night. He was a professional fisherman. He knew where to go. He'd let his nets down countless times during the night and didn't catch a single fish. He was tired. He was probably quite sort of grumpy. However, he did eventually let his nets down. How often have we rejected God's suggestion to go and do something because we are convinced, like Simon Peter, that we won't see any results? I've seen it time and time and time again at churches together meetings. We sit down and somebody says, right, I think we ought to do this, or I think we ought to do that. And I sit there, and I'm sure some of the other ones sit there and think, how's that going to work then? Who's going to bother to come to that? One classic was Jessie, my daughter, who said, I think we ought to have a Queen's birthday, was it, her final birthday or something like that, celebration with tea and cake along the church. And I thought, no, not another one, that ain't gonna work, Jess. Anyway, we went along with it because I've learnt that God works in mysterious ways. We went along with it, and we had over 120 people turn up, and we'd baked about 14 cakes, but these people came with cakes, and they came with scones and cream and jam. And we had enough cakes left over to put them in the deep freeze. And I don't think we had to bake any more for any of the rest of the year for the church goings-ons because these people turned up with them. That was the Holy Spirit. That was God. That was God. It was absolutely amazing. So, you know, we often reject God's suggestion, thinking it's going to be rubbish, but it isn't. We are all of us, called to participate in God's mission to the world and to the church. That God's mission which comes to us through Jesus Christ. And we are all called right now, today, even in spite of our frailty, our failures and our doubts. We are called even in our very busy, complicated lives. We are called to help Jesus' mission and should rejoice in that. We should answer the call, get involved, trust in him to work his mission through us. So when you get called the next time, pick up the telephone. Amen. And so we now come to the Creed, where we declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we pray for ourselves, for forgiveness for all those bits that we get wrong in our daily lives. And we ask for God's forgiveness, knowing that if we are truly penitent, then he will wipe the slate clean. Lord God, we've sinned against you. We've done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive you your sins and make you holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now that we've got God's forgiveness with our clean slate, we now pray in earnest for those things that we need help with in this world. Holy God, whenever we fail to care for our brothers and sisters throughout creation, the way is opened to destruction and our hearts become hardened. We recognise our responsibility to encourage and uphold one another and to live together in peace and love. We also recognise our needs and human weaknesses and come to you now with our prayers and petitions. Gracious God, thank you that you call us to be apostles sent out to do your work. We pray for all who respond, "Here I am, Lord," when they hear your call. We pray also for those who have a ministry in their daily lives of work, family or community, who daily bear witness to the gospel in all that they say or do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, thank you for our world and the places where we live. Help us to be mindful that we are all created equal in your sight, and accept our deep regret that despite this there is still so much inequality to be found, even within our village. Help us to remember that you want us to be good stewards of your creation, living responsibly in the lands and seas of the earth. May all future growth be sustainable, and may we ensure that its abundance is fairly shared for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, help us to use our influence within our families and communities to bring peace, joy and fun into people's lives instead of stirring up strife. Help us be reliable and honest in what we do and friendly to all who meet in our who we meet in our daily lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, friend of those in need, your Son Jesus can free us from our burdens and heal our bodies and spirits. We pray for those still burdened, those seeking healing, those in need within the church and the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, when death separates us from those we love and we find it hard to live without them, take from us all bitterness and resentment and help us to remember that death has no power at all over the peace you give and that the love we shared with our departed loved ones goes beyond the grave. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, in the weeks ahead, help us to conduct our lives with dignity, always giving and expecting respect, always praying before taking action, and following each action with prayerful thanksgiving. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be with each one of you always, and also with you. Amen. So as we look forward to going out this week to serve the Lord, we prayed, "Faithful Lord, whose steadfast love never ceases and whose mercies never come to an end, grant us the grace to trust you and to receive the gifts of your love new every morning, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And go and let down your nets to catch those people who need to be told about the wonderful Gospels. In the name of Christ, Amen. Thank you for being with us today. It's a privilege to do this service for you, and I hope that you find it helpful. And I will be with you quite a bit more just in the near future, so that would be really good. Have a lovely week. Bye.